I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
Welcome to the Broken Book Podcast. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Sam. And we're ready again this week to appreciate, dissect, criticize, defend, and generally nerd out about the Bible.
In this minisode, I'm going to treat you guys to a sermon that I originally wrote for one of my preaching classes, but which I think is also very appropriate to this podcast. Where will you be tonight at midnight? Sleeping soundly under warm blankets in a cozy bed? Drinking steaming coffee as you work on a last-minute project? What about taking a shower? Outside, in an icy waterfall. John, one of my colleagues at Meadville Lombard Theological School, did something like this when he visited the Tsubaki Grand Shrine in Japan. There he had the opportunity to learn firsthand about Shintoism, the oldest traditional religion of Japan. I was lucky enough to hear his presentation on his experience this past January. In his presentation, John described the Shinto concepts of sumi and misogi as he had learned them on his visit. Sumi can be translated into English as sin, but John explained that sumi has a different connotation from sin. Sumi is seen as pollution that naturally attaches itself to human beings as they live in the world, much as dust naturally collects on a shelf. And so, just as a housekeeper regularly dusts the shelves to keep them at their best, the Shinto practitioner regularly purifies themselves from sumi. One way to be purified from sumi is through misogi. Misogi is a ritual bathing, ideally in cold running water. During the night, in a mountainside forest of towering trees, John participated in misogi by standing in the midst of a waterfall's icy spray. The shockingly cold water offered an opportunity to reconnect with nature and with self. John shared how much he appreciated these Shinto concepts of sin and purification in contrast with the concept of sin he learned from his Baptist upbringing. In his upbringing, much shame and guilt were attached to sin. There is a sense that people should be able to keep themselves from sinning, so every time a person sinned, it was their own fault. A sin was a specific bad thing a person chose to do, and if you sin, you should feel very bad about it. In contrast, the Shinto concept of sumi assumes that sumi is unavoidable, so there's not guilt or shame in a purification ritual like misogi. It's simply good spiritual hygiene, a spring cleaning of the soul. Does this mean that Shinto is good and Christianity is bad? I spent a year in Cambodia after college, as an intern with a Christian missionary organization. I learned a bit about Cambodian Buddhism and heard many stories from my Cambodian friends, most of whom had converted from Buddhism to Christianity. Cambodian Buddhism has blended over the course of millennia with Hindu influences from India, ancestor veneration from traditional Chinese religion, and Cambodian indigenous religion. As a result, unlike in some other traditions within Buddhism, there's an emphasis on people's relationships with the spirits living around their homes. One of my Cambodian housemates, Hing, told me that her family at one point had developed a fear of one of these spirits. At night, they sometimes felt a frightening presence in their house. They were afraid that an unfriendly spirit was haunting their house and might hurt them if they didn't please it. Sometime during this haunting, Hing became a Christian. As a new Christian, she learned that the Holy Spirit now lived inside her. She believed that the Holy Spirit loved her and could protect her. One night, when she felt the frightening presence in her house, she said, "I command you to leave this house in the name of Jesus." And then she felt the presence leave. Hing's mother was amazed. Hing taught her mother to command the spirits to leave in Jesus' name, and it worked for her too. Hing and her mother felt safe again in their house. The Christian teaching that Jesus was all-powerful, loved them, and was with them through the Holy Spirit gave them courage and hope. Religion, spirituality, theology, these are powerful forces in our lives. They can be powerfully creative. They can be powerfully destructive, even within a single religious tradition. And it can be hard to hold this tension. Heng had a positive experience with a Christian theology of the Holy Spirit, but John had a negative experience with a Christian theology of sin. Heng had a negative experience with a Cambodian Buddhist spirit, but many people have had positive experiences with Buddhism and with other traditions that believe in different spirits. John had a positive experience with the Shinto concept of sumi, but others have had negative experiences with Shintoism. And you, listener, have probably had your own experiences with religious traditions. Some of these religious experiences have been very painful. Rules that stifled joy and replaced it with shame. Faith that required belief for its own sake and feared honest questions. A community that did not accept everyone's sexual orientation or true gender. Some of these religious experiences have been incredibly liberating. Helpful guidance for a good life. Faith secure enough to ask the tough questions. A community of deep love and acceptance. If we want to accept and encourage one another in all the diversity of our searches for truth and meaning, we have to hold this tension. There are no purely bad religious traditions, and there are no purely good religious traditions, even our own. It can be very tempting to see a tradition that hurt us or someone we love as purely bad. I wish I had gotten to know more Cambodian Buddhists during my time in Cambodia. Because so many of my Cambodian friends had converted from Buddhism to Christianity, I got a very skewed impression of Cambodian Buddhism. At the time, I saw Cambodian Buddhism mainly as a source of fear. But I later learned that this unique blend of Buddhism, Hinduism, ancestor veneration, and indigenous religion inspired courageous acts of peacemaking, even during the horrific period of instability after the Khmer Rouge. And surely there are many other ways that Cambodian Buddhism has been a positive influence on the lives of many, many Cambodians. We as human beings need to learn to find common ground and even inspiration from traditions that we don't agree with on every issue. This is not to say that anything goes or that we can't take a stand against religious beliefs that go against our values, but we live in an increasingly smaller and smaller world, and we can't afford to scoff at one another. We need enough mutual respect to work together. The people who faithfully live out a tradition that you disagree with, even a tradition that has hurt you, may be your natural allies more often than you think. My own journey has taken me from conservative evangelical Christianity to more moderate Reformed Christianity to Unitarian Universalism. Though parts of this journey were frustrating and painful, I found it healthy and healing to rediscover the parts of my Christian heritage that I still find beautiful and inspiring. One of these is that I still feel a warmth deep in my chest when I remember that God is with me and loves me, even though I no longer claim any certainty about who or what God might be. Another is that this very sermon was actually inspired by the doctrines of total depravity and common grace that I learned within Reformed Christianity. I found a lot of good in a tradition that once hurt me. Just as it can be tempting to see a tradition that hurt us as purely bad, it can be equally tempting to see a tradition that has inspired us as purely good. For those of us who have felt deeply and completely welcome in a certain faith community, it can be hard to notice ways in which our beloved community might feel less welcoming to someone else. But we have a responsibility to turn our critical gaze inward to keep our own tradition healthy and vibrant. In my own denomination, the Unitarian Universalist Association, we have long understood that racial reconciliation is overdue in our country, and prided ourselves on this understanding. But this spring, the hiring process for our southern region's new lead was criticized for upholding white supremacist culture. And in the midst of this conflict, our denominational president resigned. As it turns out, even as staunchly and proudly progressive as we are, we have racial reconciliation work to do in our own denominational structures and congregations. We can chase after the illusion of a perfect spiritual community, but we will never find it in the flesh. No religious tradition is purely good, but no religious tradition is purely bad either. It isn't easy, and at times we need to change traditions to find a better fit, or step away from religious communities altogether. But no fit will be perfect, and I think religious traditions need people who will stick around to challenge and love the tradition that they have chosen. And I think that the powerfully good potential of organized religion makes our religious communities worth the struggle. One of my professors was previously the president of the Unitarian Universalist Association. As a good president of a liberal religious tradition, he visited a Shinto shrine to do some interreligious work. He was given the opportunity to participate in Misogi. The monks there assured him that they would not think less of him if he wanted to do a modified version of the ceremony. But he decided to go all in. Cold waterfall, wearing nothing but a loincloth, in the middle of January. He wanted the full experience, and he thought he had fully geared himself up for it. However, when the freezing water touched his skin, the president was heard to say a religious phrase not particularly appropriate to Shintoism, Unitarianism, or the solemnity of the occasion. Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! That's what this work can feel like. We go all in, invest in a community that we think the world of, and we are not prepared for how the people we love will let us down, how even our own actions will betray us. But when we break down this dichotomy between good and bad religious traditions, it opens up new possibilities. As we engage with this creative, risky, messy, and often painful work, whether it is a Buddhist meditation circle, an evangelical church, an atheist humanist discussion group, or even an activist group, we can safely give up the illusion that our tradition is purely good. Because this does not sentence our beloved tradition to the realm of the purely bad. We can love our tradition and see its shortcomings. We can hold the tension.
I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Why should the living complain when punished for their sins? Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain without pity. You have covered yourself with clouds that no prayer can get through. You have made a scum and refuse among the nations. All our enemies have opened their mouths wide against us. We have suffered terror and pitfalls, ruin and destruction. Streams of tears flow from my eyes because my people are destroyed. My eyes will flow unceasingly without relief until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees.